As we move into our scripture reading this morning, I know it kind of feels weird. We've come in and we've sang Christmas songs. You're going to hear the Christmas story. One of the reasons is this is not because I'm crazy. It's because it's you chose it. Last month, you were given a card. What is your top three favorite Bible stories? This was one of, there were three top ones that tied. This was one of them, the Christmas story. Story you hear every single year anyway. This year, 2016, you get to hear it twice. All right. So will you please stand for the reading of the gospel? May the word of God fall afresh on your ears this day. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. So last week we talked about David and Goliath and how David was chosen king. And here we have Jesus born in the lineage of that same young boy who slayed a giant. And the angels are proclaiming peace on earth. I started pondering that word peace, trying to think back, when was the last time I remembered a peaceful Christmas? Do you remember your last peaceful Christmas? It always seems so very chaotic, and it's like, it comes at the same time every single year, but it's like it sneaks up on us. And it's kind of nice to be in an atmosphere to hear the story and not be in that chaotic rush, that we can kind of marinate it in it a little bit. But I started thinking back on when that last peaceful Christmas was, and I thought, well, maybe it was before I had kids. No, well, that wasn't it. Maybe it was before I took on pulpit ministry, before I had my first church, you know, because Christmas is extremely hectic with Christmas Eve and all that. No, that wasn't it either. Maybe it was before I got married. No, that wasn't it either. And I started thinking about my own family and my own Christmases, and they were still hectic, because my parents were divorced, so it meant we had lots of Christmas parties because I still had grandparents that were still living. And when Mac and I were dating, that was a whole nother family we needed to be with. And when we started dating seriously and we were engaged, she was like, how many Christmas parties do we have to go to? It's like a lot. And so what happens when your family gets divorced? They all still want your presence and the holidays. So I started thinking about what it was like when my parents were married. And at that point, I went back to my childhood. I think there's a reason why Jesus says, come to me as a small child. Come to be lighthearted without your burdens. Come to me knowing that I will take care. And there's something about a child usually, in a loving home knows that everything's going to be provided for them. They're going to be taken very, very well care of. Sure, they whine. Sure, they complain. I'm bored. I'm hungry. But they know in their heart of hearts there's a security there. And those were Christmases that I remembered it being so very peaceful. When I knew that things were being all taken care of. And there's a part of me that longs to want to go back to that place, that secret place we call home. When we're so sad and we're overwhelmed, sometimes our soul will cry, I just want to go home. And literally, you might be in your home, your present home, but there's something within us that longs for that security, that time of no worries. So I thought about this thing of peace, that the angels proclaim peace on earth, goodwill towards all people. And this little baby is born, and they're expecting some kind of change. And we know we live in this place where it's very, very busy. It's very, very rambunctious. All we have to do is turn on the news and know that there might be some peaceful places, but the news really isn't talking about the peaceful places. They're talking about the places that are in chaos and war and violence and devastation. And so we wonder about, at least I wonder about the angels, peace on earth. And I go back and I look at the very beginning of chapter 2, and it's interesting because these people were looking for peace too. It says, now the time, in those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world, did you catch that? Not the Roman Empire, all the world should go and be registered. Now, these aren't throwaway words. They're very, very intentional words. All the world. So I wonder about what they meant by all the world, because really all Augustus could call for was the Roman Empire. So was it believed that if you weren't part of the Roman Empire, you were nothing? Which is possible considering their culture. Emperor Augustus was the first Roman emperor. Before this, Rome was governed by a Senate and tetrarchs. And these tetrarchs were basically soldiers that were going out and conquering different parts of the world and bringing it into the Roman Empire. So it was a lot of war and bloodshed in Rome at that time. But when Augustus took it, he promised peace for Rome. He promised there would be a settling. And the Senate had come together, and Augustus had been one of the tetrarchs at the time, along with Mark Antony and somebody else that I can't remember his name. Doesn't matter. But Augustus was chosen as emperor. And the Senate had come together and voted on this. It was the first time Rome had ever had a sole emperor. And he was related to Julius Caesar. He was a nephew, I think, of Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar had died, and the Roman Senate had declared Julius Caesar a god at that time. And they had built one of the earliest temples to in Julius Caesar's honor for so that people could go and worship him. So Augustus at that time was being reigned the savior of Rome and also the son of a god, which is language that we're very familiar with. So this language that the scripture is telling us is very intentional. Augustus is calling for census throughout the whole world. This man who's bringing peace to the government. And when you read that, or when the original readers would read that, the question would be, who's bringing peace and who's the real ruler of the world? Who's the true king? Who is the true son of God? Who is the true savior of the world? And what they're going to hear is choices are going to have to be made. And what kind of peace are you looking for? What kind of peace are you looking for? Now, in ancient Jewish belief, there were two eras. The era in which they lived, that included all of history, and the era that was coming. The era in which they lived was chaotic. It was full of sin. It was full of violence. It was full of craziness. They looked around and they knew it was fallen, that God wasn't present like God was present in the garden. But they knew a time was coming when a Messiah would come that would change everything, and the Messiah would be a great king, a great ruler like David, and they would gather all of Israel together, and the nations would see how awesome and power Israel was, and the nations would flock and become a part of Israel. And this is the peace that they were looking for. They had been looking for it for centuries. Jesus is born in this little manger, stripped of all glory, of godliness. Doesn't look like a king. He dies a death, a shameful death. So shameful that if you were a Roman citizen, you weren't crucified. They didn't crucify Roman citizens because it was such a disgraceful death, and it didn't matter how bad the Roman citizen was. To be crucified on a cross was an embarrassment, not just gruesome and cruel. It was something that the emperors and the rulers wouldn't do to their own people, just outsiders. Who would have thought this would be the Son of God? This would be the great ruler, the seed of David, the branch shooting off of Jesse's tree, the great Messiah, the Rose of Sharon, the roaring lion of Judah. But here he was, born on a very quiet night, and the world in its chaotic state waiting for that Savior. So what we are now living in is an age of in-between. That we say that Christ inaugurated peace, yes. But we're still kind of in that between, it's coming. This next era that the Jews were waiting for is coming, but it's not yet. It started, but it hasn't reached its fulfillment. And we live in this chaotic world, and yet we know peace. At least we can. At least we can know peace. I want to read something to you from Bonhoeffer, because sometimes peace isn't always what we expect it to be. Bonhoeffer says this. Bonhoeffer was a theologian during when Hitler rose to power before World War II and during World War II. And as Hitler rose to power and began to persecute persecute the Jews in Germany. This is what Bonhoeffer wrote. He says, there is no way to peace along the way of safety. For peace must be dared. It is itself the great venture and can never be safe. Peace is the opposite of security. To demand guarantees is to want to protect oneself. Peace means giving oneself completely to God's commandment, wanting no security, but in faith and obedience, laying the destiny of the nations in the hand of Almighty God, not trying to direct it for selfish purposes. Battles are won not with weapons, but with God. They are won when the way leads to the cross. We think of peace as a security, but peace is actually a place worth fighting for. When Bonhoeffer looked out and there was persecution among his friends, he began to speak out and began being persecuted himself for it. There are times when we want to shelter ourselves and we want to exit out of the situation because we don't want to be in the throes of it. And so we won't say anything. Somebody says a joke at work and it's racist or it has to do with someone's gender. It's off color. And nobody says anything because we don't want to be in the throes of it. We see someone on the side of the road who hasn't had a job in a very long time, probably hasn't had a bath in a very long time. We pass judgment on them. We might even throw some change at them. But we don't want to enter into a conversation with them. We don't want to ask, why are you out here? What happened? What's your name? Because we're looking for peace, but we don't know how to get it. Peace is worth fighting for. Peace is worth going into the fray. And when Jesus was born, it was God going into the fray. It was God working out justice. It was God bringing us into a new era where we could find true peace. Not the peace that withers away and hides behind closed doors, hoping beyond hope that it doesn't reach my door. Have you ever had somebody knock on the door and you go, I'm just not going to answer it today? Yeah, that hope. Jesus enters into the fray, bringing peace. You see, we bring peace. But the only way to bring peace is to know the peace giver. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says this. In chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. We have to know the person who brings peace. This peace that our hearts long for. This shepherd king who leads us to still waters and green pastures and restores our soul. The only way we can bring peace like Jesus brings peace and truly celebrate God with us, Emmanuel, is to know the giver. The one that soothes our soul. The one that heals our wounds. the one that is faithful beyond our understanding, the one that loves deeper and wider than we could ever comprehend. This is why this is such a joyful occasion when we come together at Christmas. We lose it. We lose it in the chaos, in the shopping, the hustle bustle. And I'm so glad Jessica told us there's only 98 days left because we can get cracking. And maybe we can work towards a peaceful Christmas if you start now. Instead of running around like a chicken with its head cut off, looking for the best deal at the last minute. But why is this such a joyful occasion? Is that things are changing. The powers that ruled the world like Augustus don't really rule the world. As much as highly as we want to think, as powerful as the United States is, and our government, and our military, and our leaders, they don't rule the world. As we look at the leadership of the world and those who are building nuclear weapons, I have news. They don't rule the world. And it's not even that big. It's small, too. We get on the road and someone has road rage. I have news for that person. They don't rule the world. Somebody gets mad at you for what you do. You didn't do it right. And they tell you, it's okay. They don't rule the world. And they don't rule you. I'm sorry, honey, but you don't rule me. I don't rule you either, so it's fair. We have one God. We have one King. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. He is the ruler of the nations, and not just the ruler, the creator of the world. Augustus and people and rulers like him can call for censuses all they want to. They can build up their military. They can try to conquer the world. But it's not going to happen. They don't rule the world. God rules the world. God is faithful and just. And when we truly understand what peace means, and we truly understand the giver of peace and joy and life, we can go out in the world and bring peace and joy and life. Did you hear Jesus? He says, my peace I give to you. Don't be afraid. Don't live in fear. Because I know this world doesn't yet know my peace. But you don't have to be afraid of that. I know we're kind of worried because elections are coming up. I don't even want to hear about it anymore. I pray. I'm praying. Sometimes I don't know what to pray for, but I'm praying. But they don't rule the world, and they never will. They may think that they're the president of the United States, that there is someone greater. And I'm praying that they get to know that God that is greater than anything we could ever comprehend. So as we move forward this week, and we think about the birth of Jesus out of season, and enjoy that story for what it is and what it means for our life, hope, joy, and peace, and love. A God who loved the world so much that God would give his only son. That God loved the world so much that he would give his only son, that whoever believes would have eternal life. Here, now, today, peace, joy, love. life today. So as we go out, I want you to definitely pray for our candidates. Pray for Hillary. Pray for Donald. They need it. Because we need it. But also to continue pursuing your time with the peace giver. It is in those quiet moments when you breathe in deep, the silence, and wait for that still small voice. The voice, sometimes almost as quiet as a still child, listening to the voice of God and the peace that God brings. Those of you, some of you have come up to me and said, I have started practicing these practices, and you would not believe the difference it's making in my life. Yeah, you're right. If you haven't started, start today. Pursue that peace. Our government says, pursue happiness. Christ says, I give it to you. I give it to you. Take it. I don't give to you as the world gives. And don't be afraid. Joy to the world. And peace and goodwill to all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us pray.